It's that, again, most wonderful time of the day, at least. Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch on Robin Hood Radio or in Brooklyn. Hi,
good
Arthur
morning.
Schwartz, the food mensch.
Good morning, afternoon, evening. I realize now that people listen at all. In all situations,
that's right.
In all times of day. So whatever time of day it is for you, it's still time to talk tomatoes. This came up just the other day at my new favorite neighborhood Italian restaurant. And it's a place that I have driven by probably hundreds and hundreds of times because it's on a route that I frequently take. Which is Vanderbilt Avenue, if you need to know. And it stands out because it's a freestanding building. It always looks very, very appealing. The lights are on. It's a dark street otherwise. So I've noticed it for a long, long time. And then suddenly, the owner appears on TikTok making tomato sauce. Now, I, by the way, had before the tomato sauce TikTok, I'd been going there. And so we've been talking, Vito and I, and he said, you know, people were shocked at my tomato sauce that I use canned tomatoes and that I even bragged about using these nice canned Italian tomatoes. They think that everything should be fresh. Now, this has come up in my life a lot because I even remember this has got to be at least 30 years ago. I was a guest lecturer at a culinary school teaching Neapolitan cooking. And the students who've been taught that everything should be fresh were shocked that I used canned tomatoes to make tomato sauce. Now, I love fresh tomatoes, don't get me wrong, and I do make tomato sauce from fresh tomatoes. I'll get to that in a minute. But really, canned tomatoes, even ones that are not from Italy, are better for a lot of reasons. Now, the best is if you get the best tomatoes. Now, I do buy, in cans, San Marzano tomatoes, which is a type of tomato, but also the place and nearby towns of San Marzano. San Marzano is a town that grow the best sauce tomatoes in the world. Now, they don't actually grow as many San Marzano-type tomatoes as in the old days because modern-day canning machinery doesn't handle these delicate tomatoes very well. You can get them, but most of the tomatoes grown in San Marzano or Sarno and other towns that get a DOP designation, which is the genuine product of the land, that they say they are, to simplify things. They're mostly Roma tomatoes, which are the plum tomatoes that we have, too, except that when you grow them around Mount Vesuvius in volcanic soil with intense heat during the summer and the winds blowing, and, you know, they taste different, okay? And, in fact, we have a Jersey farmer at our farmer's market who for a few years, I didn't look this year, but for a few years was growing San Marzano tomatoes. And they look different than the Roma. The Roma are, you know, they're ovoid, whereas San Marzano type have a little curviness, like sort of like a full-figured woman curviness. Anyway, and the beauty of them is that they're very low in acidity, meaning they're sweet, they taste sweet. They taste sweeter than other tomatoes because the acidity is so low. And they don't have a lot of juice and seeds, which when you're making sauce is not really what you want. And in fact, if you buy canned tomatoes, they're called pelati, peeled. They're already peeled. That's the savings right there. But fresh tomatoes taste very different than canned tomatoes. And canned tomatoes is what you make most sauces with. That said, I got a deal on Campari tomatoes. Campari tomato is a hybrid tomato. And they're a type that's grown, as they say, on a vine. It's actually, I don't really consider it a vine, but because it climbs, but anyway, yeah, I guess vines climb. But they're small tomatoes. They're usually not more than 2 or 3 ounces, well, not even 3 ounces each, 2 ounces or so each, and maybe 2 or 3 inches in diameter. Small tomatoes. They never get big. It's a hybrid. It's meant to be like this. They also, like San Marzano and Roma tomatoes, have fewer seeds and less juice and lower acidity, so they taste very sweet. Now, I am old enough to remember, by the way, I find myself saying this a lot these days, I am old enough to remember. So many things have changed since I am old enough to remember. But I am old enough to remember that when I would not eat a tomato after early October, well into the summer, because the only tomatoes you could buy were packed in cardboard boxes wrapped in cellophane, hard as a rock or mealy as hell, from Florida. I'm sure we all remember that. No, we don't. And then came cherry tomatoes. And they were grown in, I don't know, a lot of places because a lot of hydroponic tomatoes came about. And so at least I was for a while there buying cherry tomatoes in the winter. And it was hit and miss. You know, some of them were very sweet, some of them were not. Nowadays, I find they're more hit than miss, which is a good thing. And that was it. Then some lady in Florida, whose name I don't remember, a Chinese woman, started growing better Florida tomatoes. And that was a trend for a while there. Nowadays, I buy Campari tomatoes because they're very safe. I don't even pay attention to the brands or where they're grown. If it says Campari tomato, by the way, another designation for them is cocktail tomato. So anyway, if I see Campari tomatoes, I'm pretty sure they're going to be at least okay, if not terrific. And we like tomatoes in many different forms. So I got a deal on Campari tomatoes, and we had this huge a salad with a lot of tomatoes in it. And then I had a lot of leftover tomatoes. And so I decided, which I don't usually do, to make sauce with Campari tomatoes. I do what I always do, no matter what the tomato sauce is going to be. I heated some olive oil with a couple of cloves of crushed garlic. I don't mean crushed through a press, but crushed with the heel of my hand so that they split open. I have a Neapolitan friend who doesn't like to get his hand smelling of garlic. He's fussy. So he just cuts the garlic cloves in half. Anyway, you let them infuse in the oil for a while on low heat, turning them a couple times. Don't let them brown. And when you're ready, and by the way, so I put that up on the stove. In the meantime, I wash my tomatoes, and I cut them into quarters. You don't have to cut them in anything smaller. In fact, I think next time I might only cut them in half. Now, Campari tomatoes do have, I wouldn't call it a thick skin, but a thickish skin, and it doesn't bother me. I would not bother to peel Campari tomatoes. I made a sauce the other day that was so good, Bob is insisting that I duplicate it. So this is the now fresh Campari tomato sauce. So I put them in the pan, and so when the garlic has infused for a while, I leave the garlic in the pan, by the way. We like to eat the garlic in the end, but you know, if I was doing it real Neapolitan style, I'd pick the garlic out. They're fussy about that. Put in the tomatoes and increase the heat to medium-high, cover the pan, and in 5 minutes you've got sauce, literally. Uncover the pan. If it looks a little too watery to you, just simmer it for a couple more minutes with the pan uncovered. Of course, before you covered the pan, you wanted to put in some salt at least. How much? I don't know. 2 big pinches. It depends on how many tomatoes you have there. And then cover the pan. And now you can judge yourself if it needs to be cooked down or not. Mine did not need more than another minute or two. But, you know, this will definitely depend on the tomatoes. In the meantime, I cooked up some spaghetti, and just before it was completely cooked, we like it sort of, I mean, for most people, what we eat is al dente. For Bob, it's sometimes it gets a little too al dente because I made it to my taste, but here you can adjust things. It doesn't hurt to put in a little pasta cooking water as you're simmering this down. And what I use is one of those big claws. I don't know what you call it even, but a pasta claw, I call it. I was once given one as a gift. Fortunately, it goes in the dishwasher, even though it's fancy looking. And then I have another one that I bought because, I don't know, somehow I think I need two of everything. In any case, I have a pasta claw. And what's a beauty of it is that you're making spaghetti. This was for spaghetti. If it's a macaroni shape, then you use something else. But this is great for spaghetti. And it does have a shallow spoon thingy at the end. So as you're taking your pasta from the pasta pot to the saucepan, and I cook those tomatoes in a big skillet, that you're automatically bringing in some pasta cooking water, probably just enough to make the dish. So since the spaghetti was taken out a minute before it was really done, you can now cook the spaghetti in the tomatoes for a few minutes, and they will give off a little bit more starch, and that'll make your tomato sauce sort of creamy. We ate it with a lot of cheese. I can't tell you how funny Neapolitans think it is that Americans want to use fresh oregano. My friend's mother, who's now in her mid-90s and still cooking every day, who lives in Naples, is a Neapolitan lady. When she came to New York to visit with her son, who then owned a restaurant, a Neapolitan restaurant, this is many years ago, she thought it was so funny that she could only buy fresh oregano. That everybody wanted her to use fresh oregano, and she'd never really cooked with fresh oregano before. So she did invent something that I haven't made in years, but it's really good. Is like she takes she took a slab of tuna, raw, you know, fresh tuna, and she put leaves of fresh oregano on the tuna, and put it in a plastic bag, or a Ziploc bag, which was also a novelty for her. Not that they don't have plastic bags in Italy, but she'd never used Ziplocs. And she put it in the refrigerator overnight, and it really would infuse a flavor of oregano into the tuna. But I have to say, it's a different flavor. Fresh oregano has a different flavor from dried oregano, and dried oregano is so handy. I always have dried oregano. I don't always have fresh parsley or fresh basil. If I had fresh basil or fresh parsley or even fresh mint, I might put that in for the last couple minutes of cooking of my tomato sauce. I might put that in. I even might put it in fresh after I've added the spaghetti and toss the spaghetti in the sauce for a while. But I don't always have those things, so I use very, very good oregano. I buy this... it's usually Sicilian oregano in a cellophane bag. It's on the branches of the oregano. And in the old days, I used to sit at the kitchen table and get the leaves off of the twigs and put it in a canister. But these days, I just leave it in the bag that it comes in. And when I'm ready to use the oregano, I just crush through the bag some of the oregano into my dish. So I had some oregano in this. And I must tell you that given with the pasta, cooking water, making it a little creamy, and a little bit of oregano to give it a zip. And I used quite a bit of black pepper, too. Anyway, Bob thought this was the most sensational tomato sauce he's had since a particular restaurant in Naples. And Vito, who owns the restaurant on Vanderbilt Avenue, is called Graziella. He's a very friendly guy. The first time we went to the restaurant, there was this old man. When I say old man, I mean somebody older than me. There was an old man who wanted to enter at the same time. So I just said to him, "Prego, signore," which is what you say if, in Italy. It means, you know, go ahead. Please, signor. So Vito, the younger man with the older man, said, "How did you know he was Italian?" I said, "I didn't, but we're going into an Italian restaurant, so I spoke Italian." Anyway, we now have a friendship. And so Vito could complain to me that somebody criticized him, more than one person, criticized him for not using fresh tomatoes. So we're going to go back to canned tomatoes now. So canned tomatoes, I used to warn people away from the can that said was called San Marzano, but they were not. They're California or Arizona tomatoes. I don't know where they get them from, but they're American tomatoes, and they may be good tomatoes. I haven't bought them in a lot of years, but they're not Italian or even, and much less San Marzano. So I now know they are no longer called San Marzano. Somebody got after them. I hope it was the FDA or whomever regulates these things. I think it's FDA. They're now called SM tomatoes, and not San Marzano, just SM. So beware. At least you want the tomato to come from where it says it comes from. And I have to say that there's a limited amount of tomatoes coming from San Marzano and environs. And a lot of our canned tomatoes are coming from even further south in Basilicata. In fact, the second largest tomato canning facility is in Basilicata. And when you go there, you'll see fields and fields and fields of tomatoes. In Italy, the trendy tomatoes, you know, they have fads as well, even though it's a very traditionally based cuisine. They have a tomato called Pacchino. Now, Pacchino is a town in southern Sicily that grows an enormous quantity of tomatoes, but the joke is there are more Pacchinos than there are in Pacchino. So, I mean, it's such a trendy word these days that even they're illegitimate. They're a fake Pacchino. But when they say Pacchino these days, on a restaurant menu, it usually means cherry tomato because the bulk of the tomatoes in Pacchino are cherry tomatoes, although they grow other kinds of tomatoes as well. So, and I have to say that in my lifetime of going to Naples, cherry tomatoes have become more and more trendy. And you can make a very good sauce with cherry tomatoes, too. In fact, the original title for Naples, for my last book, Southern Italian Table, was Broken Spaghetti and Smashed Tomatoes. You do break spaghetti for a lot of things. In fact, it's even sold. And smashed tomatoes is a word they use in Puglia when they make a sauce with cherry tomatoes. And you, after the tomatoes cook for 5 minutes, with the cover on, as I explained before, you uncover the pan and smash up the tomatoes because now they're tender enough to smash and become sauce. Anyway, so this is a last gasp for local tomatoes. Maybe you get another week or two, and then we can talk about frying green tomatoes.
Quick herb question, very quick.
Sure.
Going back to the earlier recipe, when you are using anything other than oregano, for example, do you anything to the leaves? Do you just tear them? Do you just throw them in?
We're talking about a fresh herb?
Fresh herb, yep.
Well, basil has big enough leaves you can tear it into the sauce.
Right.
Parsley, I usually make what's called in French a chiffonade. I cut it very, very thin.
Okay.
Depends on the herb. You can, okay. Yeah, you can just put whole leaves of parsley in for all I care. Parsley is better. I mean, you taste the parsley more when the pieces are bigger. Same with the basil. And those fresh herbs go in at the very last minute. or even not. You know, I even sometimes just put them on as I'm tossing the spaghetti. And then there's cheese, too. You know, you want to have some cheese. With tomato sauce, I don't know. I almost always want cheese. By the way, you can make a sauce without garlic for those of you like you, Jill, who have an aversion to garlic. Of course, you can make it with a shallot or an onion. It's a different taste, but I love tomato sauce made with onion. In fact, most of the time, if I'm making tomato sauce to go on pasta, just plain, I make it with onion and not garlic. That's it. Do you have herbs in your garden?
Yeah, I'm hungry, and I will say this. It's always a matter of taste, and I just hope that people have enough curiosity to explore the different. You know, it tastes different with onions than it does with garlic, and that's how you develop a preference.
And by the way, I mean, there's in Neapolitan cooking, there's a rule. I mean, if it's fish, then it's garlic and parsley, and if it's for just sauce, it's usually onion and basil. So, and rarely the onion, both onion and basil, rarely. In other regions, meaning not Naples, but not Campania, but you know Sicily, it's different. They often combine onion and garlic, but really. Having learned most of my Italian cooking from people in Campania, I tend not to do that. Well, I must say I make Greek things, and I always combine onion and garlic there. But, you know, if you want things to taste the way they taste in the place, you got to sort of do it with the ingredients of the place and the techniques of the place.
I think that's perfectly – I think that's a reasonable assessment.
Yeah, but you know, not you don't always have to have the thing taste the way it tastes in the place either. It can taste the way you want it to taste.
But you want to be able to, if that's what you're trying to do, then you want to.
Yeah. That's why. And by the way, the fat that you use is key to this. The great Waverly Root, although his Italian book is a bunch of nonsense, wrote the definitive book on French cuisine. This is 50 years ago, more than 50. Old enough to remember, he divided France into regions of fat, and to explain the cuisine of the regions, there was the goose and duck fat region, there's the olive oil region and the butter region. And if you want your food to taste like those places, you got to use the fat of those places. Everybody have a glorious week. You know, there's so much more to say about tomatoes, but I think we've had enough for now.
Thank you, as always. Love to Bob. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.